track 12, and we come to our feature article, which is going to be read for you by Jill and Celia, and it's from Gary Joliffe's Nature Diary.
Rise in seabird deaths recorded in the South Hams. On recent beach cleans in the South Hams, volunteers have witnessed a noticeable increase in the number of dead puffins and other seabirds amongst the ever-present plastic pollution on the strand line. This is not unique to our stretch of coastline, unfortunately, with similar reports coming in from all around the UK coast. In this case, however, it's not the plastic that's to blame directly, but a result of the frequency and severity of the seasonal storms that we've endured this winter. It's not a new phenomenon, and even has a name, having been dubbed a seabird wreck. Seabird wrecks are caused by a prolonged period of storm activity, stirring up the seabed, reducing visibility to the point that many seabird species are unable to see their prey underwater, leading to starvation. Whilst climate change is irrefutably driving the increase in regularity of these events, a slither of good news is that it is currently seasonal and populations will have the opportunity to recover in between cycles. This is where the omnipresent nature of plastic pollution comes into focus, as whilst the winter storms do definitely stir up historic pollution from the seabed, making it appear seasonal, in reality there's no let up in the assault on nature from plastic, whatever the time of year. The effects of plastic pollution on the planet's flora and fauna is an area of relatively new study. However, we all live with plastic pollution in some form or other, recent scientific peer-reviewed studies having shown that it resides in each and every one of us. It's not, as you might expect, necessarily ingested via what we eat, but rather from the very air that we breathe in the form of microscopic nanoparticles invisible to the naked eye. What effect this will have on long-term human health has yet to be determined. However, I don't think you need a PhD to conclude that it's unlikely to be beneficial. Nature is under enormous pressure from all sides. A warming planet, habitat loss, and the pollution of soils and waterways with one of the most strikingly visual forms of everyday pollution being plastic pollution.
I challenge anyone to go for a countryside or coastal walk and not encounter litter in the form of plastic in some form or other, and I would argue that it is definitely having a hugely detrimental effect on the creatures that we share our planet with. In order to make this relevant, let's take the Sulcombe and Kingsbridge estuary, Rhea, and nearby coastline as an example. If you are fortunate enough to be able to navigate the waters of this beautiful place and you stick to the well-defined deep water channels, generally it all looks tickety-boo. Take a closer look, however, and it is far from so. Microplastics in the form of nurdles, biobeads, polystyrene balls, and unidentifiable fragments inhabit every nook and cranny of almost the entire perimeter of the estuary. Consider that this measures some 31 miles, then you get some idea of the scale of the issue. Nano and microplastics are ingested mistakenly as food by seabirds and sea creatures of all shapes and sizes, much more commonly than land-based equivalents. The jarring image of the Laysan albatross chick, with its stomach full of plastic pollution, unwittingly fed to it by its parents who take their food from the ocean surface whilst on the wing, is hideous proof of this. It was an image like this that was one of the catalysts for the establishment of the South Devon-based Plastic Pollution and Nature Regeneration Organisation, Till the Coast is Clear, which specialises in clearing plastic pollution from the less accessible areas of the coastline. Since 2018, some 35,000 kilograms have been recovered by hand by the crew and volunteers of the social enterprise that has been supporting the Devon Environment Foundation and numerous other organisations and local business sponsors. So whose problem is this? Well, it is a problem for all of us. Plastic is a ubiquitous material that is difficult to see humans replacing any time soon without the will of our leaders and the manufacturers who maintain that it is consumer demand that drives its proliferation, not the fact that it is cheap to produce and phenomenally profitable. Viable alternatives are already out there, and if produced at scale, could easily make this transition a swiftly viable reality. Getting into the source of plastic pollution is beyond the scope of this Nature Diary, but it is undeniable that it is a growing issue that needs to be addressed with a political level. In the meantime, our consumers, we can change our habits, use less of the single-use stuff, and vote with our wallets and purses, and reward those eco-entrepreneurs trying to put a dent in the established business as usual. Profit before planet, and people behemoths which currently dominate the production and heavy marketing of the material. Plastic is one of the main materials that define the period now defined as the Anthropocene, broadly accepted to be from the 1950s onwards, when the impact on the planet became part of the fossil record. Plastic and other techno-fossils, such as concrete and fly ash from coal burning, being other examples. If you would like to learn more about plastic pollution recovery and nature regeneration projects initiated by Till the Coast is Clear, please visit www.tillthecoastisclear.co.uk.